Ivy G. Bowen sits in a federal prison somewhere wondering what the word reasonable means. And I probably share that sentiment with him because this case, I guess, hinges around the word reasonable as far as surprise and discovery and how you apply the guidelines. What basically was at play in this case was Mr. Bowen was indicted on a 50-gram indictment of methamphetamine. I had met with him, gone over career offender, Chapter 4, what it reasonably looked like his weights would turn out to be if the worst scenario appeared that we could get from the discovery record that we had. And so he and I believe it's on the record in a letter that was submitted, came to the conclusion that he's probably somewhere around the 50-gram in reality weight. And the worst we were talking, I think, about 150 grams of methamphetamine. And the day of the hearing, he'd been trying to get a hold of me, maybe the day before. We get surprised with this other memo from a confidential source that put 1.7 kilograms on him.
But Mr. Goggin, I mean, there are two things that disturb me about this. First of all is we have this August 3rd production, basically, of the definitive information about what the government is going to say. And then 3 weeks go by. There's the hearing on August 24th when the district judge invites the question whether Mr. Bowen wants to withdraw his plea. You apparently confer with Mr. Bowen for a second. You say no. And then things pick up again in October where the judge decides, well, it's really too late at this point. So he knew for 3 weeks that he was facing something much more to the extent that sentencing is relevant. And then at the actual change of plea hearing, the judge tells him that he's been alleged to have conspired to distribute 50 grams or more of a substance containing methamphetamine. And he pleads guilty to that. So there's no need for a jury finding on that once somebody's pleaded guilty to a charge like that. Surely Mr. Bowen knows what it means to distribute methamphetamine.
Yes, he does.
And he knows 50 grams or more.
That's correct.
So he's been told. And even though the government's recitation of the factual basis for the plea doesn't happen to include amounts, he's already been told by the judge that's what you're charged with, and he says yes.
Right, and Mr. Bowen did everything he thought he was supposed to do.
Right, no, and he did, and that was fine and everything, but I just don't see where there's any reason to withdraw the plea, why the judge would have abused his discretion in that respect in October when the judge has actually given him a chance to do that.
Well, when the judge made the offer, Your Honor, this had just come to light that they're trying to dump this 1.7 kilograms.
Well, 3 weeks ago it had come to light. That's not just. That's a little more than just.
Well, no. When he offered in court, it was at the beginning of the hearing.
But Mr. Bowen had known for 3 weeks that this new information was out there that would have created the higher sentencing possibility. And the judge had warned him anyway, I mean, later on. But, again, if this is what we're going to focus on, he knew that this other information was there.
Well, I beg to differ. Maybe I remember you wrong, but my recollection of the facts were Mr. Bowen might have been aware of that, but he's trying to get a hold of me desperately. And I thought, and I think this is in the record, is one of those typical cases where they plead guilty, they're thinking of a certain range, and it comes back over. And that's very typical.
I have never seen a criminal record such as possessed by your client.
It's bad. I agree with that, Your Honor.
Are all these Illinois offenses?
Yeah. He went through the revolving door of Illinois State Court where probation, bam, he catches federal indictment. Wow.
I mean, it's an extraordinary indictment of the Illinois criminal justice system.
I agree. And so my advice to him is get on board. You have
but
no choice.
But my point
he
is,
looks
you
so
knew
bad.
As of August 3rd, you had that information that the government had turned over, and maybe if the district judge had insisted on a decision that day, I would have had some sympathy for this, but the district judge extends the time, actually not once but twice. But he offers him the opportunity to change his plea on the 24th.
Right, and that is right after I filed my objections. I hadn't talked to him. They brought him into court. I'm trying to pitch this argument to Judge Gilbert that, you know, this is really unfair. And, does he want to withdraw his plea? Well, think about that. I've been telling this guy, because he looks so bad on paper, you better plead guilty. You better get on board. The only way you're going to see the light of day is a, you know, kiss. And so he's got this in his brain. Look, I'm listening to my attorney. The magistrate judge told me to listen to my attorney. He's gone through all these guidelines with me.
Mr. Goggin, I'm not sure that your advice was so bad even under the circumstances. I mean, it seems
very
rational.
I lean over to him at a split second after I've been telling him to go this way. I lean over and say, "Want to withdraw your plea?" He's like, "Well, you know, we haven't had time to talk about it." So he says no at first, and then we're forced to start the hearing. And, God, that starts out bad. That's in the record.
But then there's no motion between then and October. I mean, there's nothing. There's no sign of anything. I think you had a lot of time to think about this, looks to me.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Goggin. Mr. Carr?
The pre-sentence report in this case came out in June, and in the pre-sentence report, it covered the amount of dope that was involved in this case. Now, he didn't obviously have access to the name of the confidential source, but Your Honor is correct. It was August 3rd that he came in and asked for and obtained a continuance. He did that when Assistant United States Attorney Norwood indicated that he had inadvertently not included the report of Tanya Stone in the discovery, because at the time she was a confidential source and we didn't have an agreement with her. So if you look at from that standpoint, the judge being faced with a person, first of all, that has pled guilty, knowing full well that the range he's pleading to is over 50 grams, and that's going to, under 21 United States Code 841B1B, is going to carry a 5 to 40 year sentence. That's the range that he ended up in. He's in the 5 to 40 year sentence. This is the court put off the hearing not only to August the 24th, but the government called its witnesses, and the court continued that hearing even to October 3rd for the defendant. And I'd like to point out, the court is correct here, that the judge gave the defendant an opportunity to withdraw his plea. Counsel talked to the defendant, represented to the court he did not want to withdraw his plea, and he was not forced to go to trial. He indicated to the court that we want to proceed. To allow then on October 3rd the defendant to, for no reason at all, but just to take benefit of the court's previous offer to withdraw the plea, is tantamount to letting the defendant conduct a discovery hearing when he finds out that things aren't going so well, asking for a trial so that he has the discovery depositions of the government's witnesses. It's understandable that the court would not think very positively about that kind of procedure. And under the circumstances, the court indicated that he felt like that Ms. Stone's testimony was reliable, felt like that the conduct that she talked about was similar in nature, that there wasn't really any gap in that conduct, and assessed that conduct as part of the relevant conduct under the guidelines, which is, post-Booker, the first step in the process. But the most important step here, this isn't in the old days a case of the tail wagging the dog. 3553 wagged this defendant. The court said, "You are you have an abysmal criminal record. You definitely have a PhD in criminal activity." He had a criminal history points of 22. The court, I was sat in here for the previous hearing. The court said, "I've sentenced to people life in prison who have done less than what you have, life imprisonment. And to be honest with you, I have the ability to sentence you to life."
How old is he?
Pardon me?
How old is he?
I don't know. I'm sorry, I do not know. But at any rate, he indicates that you are a diseased person. But we look at the number of criminal history points. I don't know the exact number that is the maximum under Section 6, but this is way over the maximum under Criminal History Category 6. This court considered it its responsibility to protect the public from further crimes and indicated, obviously, after hearing a 17-year-old girl who had lived with the defendant and had methamphetamine pumped in her arms so high that she had a knot in it, that he warranted a 30-year sentence. The court indicated that he felt like that when he came in there, he was going to give him the max, 40 years, which would have been what the defendant understood could be the maximum sentence when he pled. The government recommended a 30-year sentence, and when you look at the range that the court found, between 1.5 and 5 kilos under the guidelines would have been a 34. You add 2 points because of the minor that was used, and that's a 36. The range is between 235 and 293 months for that. The judge going to 360 months, that's really just an increase of 5.5 years.
Well, I mean, that's, of course, significant. It looks like he was probably about 41. He was 11 years old in 1977, according to the government's.
Mm-hmm. So, in effect, it is a license.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And Mr. Coggan, do you have anything further?
I failed to point out at the very beginning, Your Honor, that on August 3rd, when we was the original hearing date for sentencing, we showed up. They weren't going to do this to this guy. They even recommended the low end of the sentencing range that was recited in the PSI. I think what happened was when they realized he did fit the career offenders, remarkably, they went out a different direction to try to get him. But the bottom line is, if this sticks, and you know, I'm assuming the guy's got to walk, but if the government can just withhold confidential source 302s or statements that, you know, withhold 1.7 kilograms of weight on someone and pop it on them after they've already pled guilty, you know, I can't tell a defendant to do anything but just ignore anything the government offers, ignore the PS, just go in and fight them, just take them all to trial. And, you know, that probably would have been Mr. Boland's best chance at this.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Cotter. You were appointed, were you not? Yes, well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client, and the court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.